away we go on the Wednesday edition. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Striff with you. Gruber Law Offices, One Call, that's our studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. The whole gang is back together. And clearly everything's already falling apart.
Back and better than ever.
You know us, Greeny. That's Josh DiMaggio. Will Summers is here. Hunter Vaughn is back. Long-awaited return of Hunter. We missed him. Everything fell apart without him. From his pre-football, pre-volleyball season vacation. Hunter, good to have you back, pal. How are you?
I'm well-rested. I'm ready to go. I didn't watch any of the shows while I was gone, so you're going to have to fill me in on what happened here. Because I thought I left you guys in pretty solid hands and thought things would be okay.
You did. You did. Will screwed some stuff up. I screwed some stuff up. I got sick. We missed a show. It was a whole mess. Josh took a day off to watch his own dog, Jesse Nelson style. I mean, it was a whole disaster. So it's good to be back in the comfort of the normal show with all four of us here, at least for today. Josh, are you off Friday?
Sure am.
How many off days do you have?
I have the maximum amount.
You always say that, but what does that mean?
I don't know exactly the number. I believe we're capped around like 22, 23 days.
I think I had 21 this year, so that would make sense.
Yeah. There is an amount that you cannot have over, and I found that out because I carried some over, and they said, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, just take some days off then. All right, well, good to have everybody back. We have a lot to get to, including a lot on the Milwaukee Brewers, which we will do in a bit. But I would just say this. I would challenge any show in America that they do not have as good an active of a group chat as we do. The group chat of the four of us, the Mr. Relevant group chat, myself, Josh, Will, and Hunter, I would argue is probably the most active show group chat in America. Number one, because we're filled with a bunch of idiots and Josh. Number two, if anybody's pissed off, we're very good at saying it immediately. Like, if I was to say something to Josh on the show that would make him angry, or to Hunter on the show that would make him angry, I'm getting a text about it, and we're going to hash through it. And I really love that about our show. Like, all of us are a part of different shows on ESPN Wisconsin. I think we can all agree the most active group chat we're in is the Mr. Relevant group chat. Fair, everybody?
Yeah. I think that's fair. I'm the most active one in my other show-related group chats, so I would say so, because I get more back from you guys.
You get a lot back.
Yes. Chewy usually voice to text me in the JJC one. Sometimes you have to read it out loud to fully understand what he's actually trying to say, because the words don't match. But yeah, that... There's definitely more give and take in that than any other.
So on Monday, I was feeling a little under the weather, and I'm sorry to all my ESPN Madison teammates. I was supposed to be out at the ESPN Madison Open on Monday, but I woke up. We were going to do Mr. Relevant Live from there. I woke up. I didn't have a voice. My voice was shot. I was coughing crap up, and I just felt like garbage on Monday. And I still feel a little bit like garbage. As you can tell, my voice is definitely still not back to 100%, but like, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to get through the week. On Monday, about this time, about 12:30 PM, I received a text message in our group chat, and it said, "Boy, if the reports I'm hearing about our own Alex Strofe are true, ... that from Josh DiMaggio. That then set off about a 2-hour long exchange between the four of us, to the point where I believe both Will and Hunter asked us to shut up.
Yeah.
I think it was just Will that asked us to shut up.
Will.
I think Hunter was in on the shenanigans.
One thing for future matter, you tell me to shut up, I'm going to go hard.
Yeah, that's true. That's just you, man. You don't listen to authority. You never have. And I appreciate that about you. So I was out sick Monday, and I was sick. But the reports Josh heard were...
So I, first of all, minutes before Mr. Relevant was supposed to start, I still had no idea you weren't feeling well and wouldn't be participating in the program.
Hand up, that's on me.
Yes, that, whatever. I got to leave a little bit earlier than I would have. Either way, I got some stuff done at home. So that didn't upset me, but I had multiple sources approach me to discuss first you being out and some of the extenuating circumstances that might involve you being out. You when these were brought to your attention, you pushed back. You disagreed with many of them. And I tried to hammer in as somebody who has missed time due to things I've done over the weekend, that the only person to blame for you being out was yourself. And you didn't like that.
So, all right, full transparency. Here's what led to me being out. The number one factor, I believe, was the wildfire smoke. The smoke overtook my lungs. Mm-hmm. I am an asthmatic. I do have asthma. And my respiratory system just couldn't fight back anymore against the wildfire smoke, where I was coughing stuff up. But I mentioned I had a really sore throat. I didn't have a voice on Monday. Now, Josh is pointing out that there may be other factors that played into this.
Extenuating circumstances, which I would place higher, much higher blame on than the wildfire.
Well, let's walk through them together, shall we?
Yep.
I'm an open book. You know me. I'd like to be transparent with the MIA, the Mr. Relevant Army.
Yep.
I think if anything, I'm transparent and I'm open.
So one of the sources I had was myself.
That's fair.
Because I received on Friday evening.
It wasn't even night yet. It was like 8:30.
That's evening.
Yeah, no, but not night.
You're right. Evening. I received text messages from both you and Will,
yep,
asking me to come to Nomad.
Which is on Brady Street.
Yep. To which I gleefully declined and said, no, thank you.
You actually didn't do anything. You didn't reply to me.
I said, Nomad? And Josh just replied, my bed, all one word.
Me bed. Or my bed.
Oh, my bed. You told me my bad. Well, Josh is known for his typos.
I don't think I said that.
Okay.
So my bed, because I was literally in bed when I got the text message.
I also texted you, Nomad? You didn't respond. So that is...
Yes, I wasn't going to feed into doubles. So that first
Hold on, slow down. So Nomad is a bar on Brady Street.
Yes.
That was at 8:30.
Infamously, they have a patio outdoors. Very nice. I'm actually probably going to be spending some time there tonight before I head over to a concert. Outside, so you are exposing yourself probably more than you should as an asthmatic.
Yep, and
there is an indoor there, mind you, two levels.
Started in the indoor. Will wanted to move to the outdoor.
Yeah. So I was going to get to him because I think Will's culpable here as well.
Well, there's a lot more to the story. We'll get to it. So Friday, 8:30, we're at Nomad. That's Brady Street. We did not leave Brady Street until about 2 a.m.
What do you typically do when you go to bars?
Drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So alcohol is going to be a through line here.
And I can admit, did plenty of it.
Yes.
Went to Joe Katz for the first time.
I would never judge you for that.
Went to Joe Katz for the first time. I met a fan of the show, Hugo. So Hugo, appreciate your viewership and listenership. Nice talking to you at Joe Katz. So we had a little bit of an evening.
So step one, drinking beers.
This is Friday, though.
Yes.
I didn't call it sick till Monday.
Step one, outside. Step two, drinking beers. Step three, up late.
Okay. Saturday, wake up early.
Uh-huh.
Play pickleball.
Probably less sleep than you should.
I probably got 6 hours, yeah.
And a little over, you're overextending yourself a bit. You're overexerting. You go play pickleball.
So I went and played pickleball.
Yep.
And sweated out a little bit. Wasn't feeling the greatest when I woke up, admittedly.
The important thing here, and if you have a Whoop band or any of those, they tell you how important sleep and recovery is. So you're behind the eight ball now. You've drank. You've dehydrated yourself, you've exposed yourself to smoke, and then you go do physical activity.
Okay, and granted, I was not feeling the greatest. I did the old adage, hair of the dog.
Yep.
Had a few cocktails after pickleball.
Yep.
Went home, showered.
Yep.
Drank some water.
Yep.
Got some groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Invited a couple people over.
Yep.
Including one Will Summers.
Yep.
My girlfriend was out of town. I feel like this should probably, yes, this is probably an important part of the story.
There's a through line, and it'll become even more important later.
So I had them over, made some burgers, made some brats, had some beers.
And that happened on a grill, that food.
That's correct. So we were outside again.
So not only were you exposing yourself once again to the wildfire smoke, you were exposing yourself to the smoke coming off the grill you were cooking at.
Okay, so Josh is on my side so far.
Another adulterant.
And then we went inside. Had some more beers, ate the food, watched, what did we all watch? We watched a few things. Brewers, Family Night, SummerSlam, WWE SummerSlam. And at the end of SummerSlam, Will and Pratik, who was also there, who we've referenced on the show before, were both like, all right, we're leaving.
Yep.
I said, okay, great.
At what time? You want to pinpoint that?
It was about
9 p.m.?
9 o'clock, 9:30 maybe? Yeah. 9:30, 9 o'clock. So then I'm sitting on the couch, and I say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a cat nap, and then I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to Pottawatomie Casino.
By yourself?
By myself.
Normal so people would say nap, that's a good bedtime.
Yep.
That's true. I am not
especially
normal people.
Especially factoring in what we did the night previous.
Correct. I woke up at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
I said, all right, it's go time.
Did you have yourself a brewski on the way out the door?
How did you know that?
Because I've been you. Which is the main through line I've been trying to get here before. You are me just 10 years ago.
So I chugged a beer, got in my Uber, went to Pottawatomie.
Yep.
Arrived at Pottawatomie about 11:30 p.m.
Yep.
I only had two drinks at Pottawatomie because obviously I was there late. They shut the bar down at 2 o'clock. Let me just put it this way. Had a really good night gambling.
Yep.
Made some pretty solid money.
Mm-hmm.
Got in my Uber home when it was light outside.
Yep. Also, been there, done that.
Yeah, it was a little after.
More times than I'm proud to admit, frankly.
It was a little after 6 a.m.
Yes.
I went home.
Yep.
Got 2 hours of sleep.
Yep.
Came right back here to this chair. Yep. Did Sunday Karma.
Yep.
And felt great.
Yeah. Well, great. Well,
I've seen the video. You didn't look great.
You did. You were visibly.
I almost always exclusively wear a hat and glasses on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
That's a normal Sunday outfit.
Lounge day.
So I did the show, did some work here, got home about 1:30. Went to bed.
Yep.
Woke up at 6. Ordered some dinner.
Yep.
Went back to bed.
Yep.
Woke up around 8, watched some baseball,
mm-hmm.
went to bed at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
Woke up at about 6 a.m. the next day. This is Monday now. Voice is gone.
Yep.
Coughing crap up. Feel awful.
Yes.
So I think I just got sick.
The number one factor here and the number one person to blame and thing to blame is you. And it's to the tune of about 75%.
I don't know if that's true.
You had a free weekend. No boss in town. No one watching over saying maybe helping you make decisions. You overexerted yourself. You deprived yourself of sleep. You added in the factor of drinking throughout.
Yeah.
And then you got yourself sick. The smoke is but a small factor here.
See, I disagree with that.
Smoke is less than your lack of sleep.
No.
100%.
But
Hunter, what is the most important part to fighting off infection?
Sleep and rest.
Oh!
Well, hold on a minute.
Well,
Because I didn't sleep very much. Hold on. Just because I didn't sleep very much Saturday night doesn't mean I didn't sleep much Sunday. I slept all day on Sunday.
Another interesting fact for you. There's no such thing as catching up on sleep. Once you lose the sleep, it's gone forever.
Really?
Yes. So sleeping more after will make you sometimes feel better, but what the damage you had done to your body by then is already in effect.
I'll just say this and I'll let Hunter go. Time is a fascinating concept. Hunter, go ahead.
Also, on top of what Josh just said, when you sleep when the sun is out, your body naturally does not get as good of sleep. You're supposed to be sleeping.
Rhythms.
Yes. So you're already like doing a bunch of harm, and then because you're not sleeping well, trying to then sleep at night, you also don't get as quality of nighttime sleep. So like you're just doing more and more harm.
Also, really affects your sleep? Alcohol.
Yep.
You sleep worse if you've consumed alcohol. And I am self-reporting as a subject matter expert on 1, staying up all night. 2, drinking too much beer. 3, thinking I can just sleep more after I deprive myself of sleep to catch up on it. I have, on more than one occasion, taken myself out because of my performance on the weekend and had to miss a day or two of work.
So you are saying to me,
yes,
I shouldn't do what I did anymore.
No. You can, but you have to be able to say, I'm the biggest factor here.
Okay. My big point, though, is your poor girlfriend, because she has now seen what happens when you are left to your own devices.
Yeah. She can't go. She can't leave ever again.
She can't trust you. You are worse than the dog, because the dog, she could drop off somewhere else, and somebody's going to take care of it. Dog is fine.
Bro, I'll tell you what,
by the way.
You
just showed you are worse than the dog, and that's not good.
I took the dog out before I left, and then I took the dog out when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
About a 7-hour gap there. Those 6 a.m. walks are crazy.
I've done those as well.
Well, you do earlier than that, don't you?
Yeah.
You got to be here by 6 o'clock.
But I've also, in spots where I was watching my parents' dog.
Oh, sure.
You know, you leave the dog at 11, 12 p.m., come back home, and like, well, it's the morning. I might as well take this guy out.
Yeah.
That's what you end up doing. And you see some interesting things, some interesting folks out. It's definitely more desolate, but the people walking around are either runners or strange people.
Yeah, so that's all I saw.
You deserve 80% of the blame.
Hold on, I'm going to give out my blame.
I think there's one person amongst us who deserves some blame that has been reticent to accept it.
Go ahead.
Will, you got to take some extreme ownership here.
I don't understand why.
Because we know who we're dealing with here. This is Alex Stroph. You get him too gassed up, he's going to do anything. Mm-hmm. You are a contributing factor. You didn't force him to extend his night, but you got him riled up on both Friday and Saturday. That led to Potawatomi at 6 a.m.
I didn't go with him.
Will,
I feel like if I went with him, take I would have been encouraging a bad behavior.
Take 1%.
I'll take 1% for being in the same zip code as him.
Nah, jeez. It makes me think I should up the percentage he deserves to be blamed.
You used to do a great segment on the now defunct Scalzo and Brust
pie
program.
Chart of blame.
Called the pie chart of blame. So I have 100% of blame here in front of me. Hunter, could you give me some background music for this? I've got six things written down that I think contributed to me being sick. We will start with the largest chunk. 51% of the blame, I think, goes to wildfire smoke.
We're learning nothing here.
I believe 19% of the blame goes to Will.
Wow.
19.
Oh, man.
Will, I told you all weekend I wanted to go to Potawatomi. Either A, you could have come with me and been like, dude, we got to go. Or B, been like, hey, I think that's a bad idea, Stroke.
You could have.
And you did not say that. You said, go win.
You know, I guess.
Good luck.
It is my fault because I should have known that you cannot make good decisions for yourself.
Yes.
Yep.
So it's ipso facto your fault, but I'll take the blame for it. So hand up.
I've got you at 19%, which brings us to 70% total. I've got another 20% on the fact that I pulled an all-nighter. Probably not great for my body. Yep.
You can remove the probably.
Yeah, just say it wasn't great.
And state it as a fact.
So we are now at 90% of blame. Yep. So I've got 51% at wildfire smoke.
If you don't take all 10%, this is a fraud.
20% at the all-nighter. That's 71%. 19% at Will. That's 90%. Okay? I've got 6% of the blame going this direction. To the thrill of winning money, which also contributes to the all-nighter. But I was winning money, and I was like, I'm going to keep winning money. And I did. So I couldn't walk away. Why would you walk away from free money? It's like I was putting in a work shift at the casino. I was winning.
So as far as I'm concerned, you're blaming the universe.
Yes. I'm blaming the casino gods.
So I'm more to blame than you.
Yes.
You're more to blame than everything other than wildfire smoke and the fact I pulled an all-nighter, but I'm not really claiming responsibility for that. 3% of the blame goes to the alcohol I consumed.
Also probably about 4 times lower than it should be.
Probably more
what percent of the blame goes towards your girlfriend for leaving you alone?
Zero.
She 0%. Deserves a 0.5%.
Okay, then I'll give 0.5% to her or 0.5% to me. And that's 100%. So that's what I've landed on. So
yeah. You're 70-80% of the blame.
So this is my long way of saying, number one, I'm sorry to my ESPN Madison teammates and our friends at the ESPN Madison golf outing on Monday. It sounded like everybody had a great time and it was an awesome event. Number two, I'm sorry to my body. That
probably
sucked.
Still feeling a little bit today, huh?
I mean, I've been waking up the last 2 mornings. I've come to work the last 2 days, but I've woken up and just coughed. Vicks Vapo Rub, forgot how clutch that stuff is. Number two, a humidifier. Never used one before outside of like a normal basement. But like one for when you're sick that I put on my bedside, that's a game changer.
Well, I use it in the winter.
Game changer.
I was going to say, in the basement, that was probably a dehumidifier.
A dehumidifier.
Yes.
Because it was removing moisture from the... Yes.
Also, speaking of humidifier, I made a comment once when you were working back here at ESPN Madison about how maybe we should get a humidifier because of how dry this office gets. And you called me a nerd and made fun of me for it for a good week. I want an apology.
I stand by it.
Yeah.
No, I stand by that.
You should add the humidifier into your winter rotation.
I will. Mm-hmm. It's right next to my bed. It's going to stay there.
Yeah.
I've been waking up feeling pretty good.
We use multiple throughout the house during the winter months.
Minus the coughing part of that. So,
yeah, I mean, this is all a long way of saying, and you took your funny way of going about it. I think you get sick regardless of the wildfire smoke.
I don't.
Yeah.
I definitely don't.
I think it certainly made it worse and exacerbated the issue.
I think it caused the issue.
I think it might have caused you to miss work, but I think you would have been here Monday under the weather, probably with a cough, probably not feeling great, probably with voice issues.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right, so there's my illness talk. Let's get to big topic number two of the day, which is you, Joshy.
Sup?
You're pissing me off.
Good.
And that's continued for now almost a week. So we've just got it. We got to, like I said, we're good at addressing things head on in this program. That's what we're going to do now. So let's date back to last Thursday. That was the MLB trade deadline. The Brewers do nothing sexy. They don't add a starting bat. They don't add a starting pitcher, which they don't need, but they don't add anybody of like super great value. They add a couple of hurt pitchers. Shelby Miller might contribute come the playoffs. But all in all, Brandon Lockridge ain't moving the needle a whole lot for a team that had the best record in baseball at the trade deadline. Friday morning and Friday afternoon on both Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and Mr. Irrelevant, it was the three of us. Hunter was still on his vacation. It was myself, it was Josh, and it was Will. And Poopoo Pants Joshy spent the entirety of Friday talking about how, well, the Brewers, they're showing us they don't want to win a World Series and that they're due for a backslide and that they're going to have to regress at some point because nobody's ever been this good before. And it was annoying then. The Brewers have done nothing but win since then. The Brewers have not lost a game since the MLB trade deadline, including another big win last night over the Atlanta Braves. They will go for the
big win.
They won by a lot, is what I'm implying.
Gotcha. A margin of victory.
Correct. Yes, that's what I meant by big win. Not like they should beat the Braves.
Yes.
I agree with you there.
They're sub 500, right?
If they're not, they're right around it. They are a very underwhelming team this year. But the Brewers going for the series sweep later today on Wednesday when we record this. But the Brewers have done nothing but win. And Joshy lit the internet on fire. I believe it was Monday, the day I was out. I
think so.
When you said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and I'll allow you to make your point for yourself, but just to sum it up real quickly, it was effectively, no team is doing what they're doing. They are not going to continue doing it. They are going to regress and underwhelm at some point, right? Is that fair, pretty much what you said?
Yes, that for us to have the expectation of what we've seen for the past 60 games to copy and paste it throughout the rest of the season, I think would be a fool's errand. Quite assumptive, or you're making assumptions there, and that regression, because of the amount of data we have around baseball and its long history, would tell us it is highly unlikely that there wouldn't be a course correction at some point here.
So here's what pisses me off about that.
Yep.
Is, I'm going to give you three analogies right off the rip.
Oh, it's a triple analogy?
Triple analogy time. Because
wow.
I think this is indicative of where your head is at, and I don't think it makes a lot of sense. Analogy number one. Based on previous Powerball lottery winners and numbers, can you predict tonight's Powerball drawing perfectly?
One, that's an erroneous argument. One is a lottery. One is a game played with, if not the exact same rules, many of the same rules.
Sure.
Yes.
But I guess my ultimate point is you are relying on past history to dictate what the future holds.
Well, you're a baseball guy here. Let's have a baseball guy talk for a second.
Let's do it.
Is not previous history of the sport the most important factor in like determining the sport? Don't you rely on, in baseball, more than any other sports, things that have happened in the past to tell us about the current and future?
That's a loaded question, but I will say baseball is a game of slumps. It's famously said that if you succeed 3 out of 10 times, that's great in the sport. That's Hall of Fame level. There's a lot of highs and lows. I personally experienced a lot more lows than highs.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a game of waves. You're going to get hot. You're going to get cold. And it's impressive and seems nearly impossible how hot the Brewers have been. National media... We have Big Cat tweeting about how the Brewers just won't lose. He's a Cubs fan. So, yeah, I mean, they haven't hit a cold streak since the first week of the season.
And I guess what I'm not trying to say, because I think it would be incorrect, is I'm not saying the Brewers are going to play at this level for the next 2 months.
Well, to be fair, you did say that.
I think they're good enough to win a World Series, which I don't think you think.
I think they are going to have a good shot in the playoffs. I would say the team lacks the necessary depth to... when the game changes in the playoffs.
I agree with that.
Same thing they say about like basketball.
But I think
it does in football a little bit, not as much.
Hold on, I want to finish my analogies. I was really proud of these.
Well, the first one was as bad of analogies I've ever
I think
heard.
We're only going to get better. I think
okay.
We're only going to get better.
So that was,
we're going, yeah,
right.
From worst to best.
We're building confidence with analogies.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
What did I have? Just some chicken and rice meal, I believe.
Okay, so history tells me you will have chicken and rice only for the rest of your dinners for the week.
Again, not.
Yeah, that one's bad. You got worse.
Seems a bit extreme.
And also, you're making my point by saying if you have it once, you're probably going to have it a lot more. Which would then rely on me saying historically, if I'm somebody who has it today and I had it in the past, I'll continue to have it in the future. So previous.
So your point is they're winning baseball games. Doesn't that mean they should win more baseball games?
No, the point is that I can use previous data to tell us okay. Things are likely going to happen the way they have in the past.
I'm flipping a coin. That's a tails. That's a tails. And that's a heads. What's the next flip going to be?
You realize random chance and 50-50 is different than a sport. When you play a game, the Brewers facing the Braves today.
Yep.
Sportsbooks give you a number.
Correct.
Odds to win.
Yes.
Is that not indicative of, based on the matchup, one team is more likely to win than the other?
Yes, but you are pulling from
flipping a coin.
But you are pulling from previous data. And I guess the point I'm making with the coin
I'm
is
pulling from previous
despite,
and current.
Despite the fact that I flipped it three times and 66% of the time it was a tails.
So the important thing I've learned here is you don't understand what I'm trying to communicate at any level. That's what I've learned.
So communicate.
And it's going to be very hard for you to understand it because you think a flipping of a coin.
Yeah, it's a 50% chance no matter what.
And baseball are similar.
I think that the team has proven to you this season.
When the Packers play the Browns, is it 50-50 to win or are the Packers more likely to beat them?
Any given Sunday, Joshy.
Yeah, exactly. You realize the folly in your statement. There was a lot of things you could have said there, and you chose none of them.
So, you're right. I'm trying to be a dork. But I guess my ultimate point is, I don't like the philosophy of going, hey, back in 1998, this team did this, so that means the Brewers can't win. When all they have proven to us all season long, any baseball fan in the country, I don't care if you're a Red Sox fan, if you're an A's fan, if you're a Mariners fan, if you're a Cubs fan, what the Brewers have proven to us is this is a very good team and a very well-managed team that finds creative ways to win baseball games. And I don't think it's dependent on what they did in 2018. I don't think it's dependent on what they did in 2021, or did or did not do. It's a new season. It's unpredictable. That's the beauty of sports. I can't sit here and tell you who's going to win the World Series, but what I can confidently tell you is the sample size we have this season, the Brewers have proven they are good enough to compete with anybody.
There's two main things here. Just because you don't want to believe something doesn't make it any more or less accurate. Because it offends your sensibility that I say this is an unsustainable way of winning at this rate, at this frequency, does not invalidate my point because you choose not to believe it. Baseball and its history is indicative of the entirety of the sport. It is the sport that relies on its numbers. Hell, a batting average is what you did in the past.
Correct. But that doesn't mean you can't hit a home run if you're
is about what you did in the past.
Okay,
and it is the rules that very dictate that sport. So me applying what's happened previously in the sport is not invalidated because you choose not to believe
it. But you saying that is directly contradictory of what Andrew Vaughn has done this season. He stunk for 7 years in Chicago, and he comes to Milwaukee, and he's just in a better environment. He has better hitting coaches. Like, I don't think that's fair for this year's team. I don't think you can look at 2018's lack of success and maybe disappointment when they didn't make the World Series.
I'm gonna cut you off here because you're kind of going into my whole thing. So one, I'm gonna start this discussion. I'm gonna school you up a little bit.
Oh yeah, I like this.
One, I'm gonna start by saying the Brewers are very good. The Brewers are one of the best teams in baseball.
Time out. It's good to hear you say that. Continue.
I've said it. I was one of the first people to say it on these airwaves. Not this show specifically, ESPN Wisconsin as a whole. I've been saying it for a long time. And I fear that's been lost into this whole discussion. So that's why I have music here, a little power hour from Hunter. And it's going to play some music, and at 60 seconds, there's going to be a change of music. And at that 60 seconds, no matter where I am in my discussion, I'm going to say the Brewers are very good and one of the best teams in baseball. Because it seems like people have misunderstood what I'm saying as to them being bad. So let's start here. At 69-44, the Brewers are 25 games over 500 in their 113th game of the season, the fewest number of games needed to reach that mark in franchise history. The Brewers are 44-16 over their last 60 game, a rate of winning of 73%, the best 60-game stretch in franchise history. Since 2000, only 10 teams have won 44 or more games in a stretch of 60 games. For those doing math, that is 1% of teams over the course of 26 seasons. Prior to that current 60-game hot streak, the Brewers had a 25-28 record through 53 games, a 47% win percentage. In the modern era, starting in 1886, only 11 teams have recorded a 70% win percentage or better for an entire season. Most recently, it was the Dodgers in the COVID-shortened season. The Brewers are very good and one of the best teams in baseball. That team went 43-17. The next most recent is 2001. The Mariners have a 71.6 win percentage. In 1998, the Yankees had a 70.4 win percentage. Those numbers are interesting because if you reference back to over the past 60 games, the Brewers have won 73%. Higher marks than all those. The next most recent piece of that data was the Cleveland Indians, who won 72% of games back in 1954. Four total times since the sport was integrated, that has happened. A team winning at 70 or higher percentage.
They're just that good?
Since 1886, only two teams have won at or above 73%. 1906, the Cubs won 76% of the games. And 1902, the Pirates won 74.1. With those numbers, we have to believe the Brewers are very good and one of the best teams in baseball. With those numbers, you are led to believe that only this is an all-time good baseball team in the history of the sport since Jackie Robinson integrated it, or there might be and likely will be a backslide back to more regular levels of baseball. I'm glad you mentioned Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn has recorded a hit in his past 11 games. He has recorded hits in 18 of 21 games since joining the Brewers. Vaughn also has had at least one RBI in 12 of those games. In 12 of those 21 games, and multiple RBIs in 6. Since joining the Brewers, Vaughn is hitting .370.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1990, seven players have had an average over .370. These names include some of them you're going to be familiar with. Ichiro.
Know who that is. Yeah.
Nomar Garciaparra. Todd Helton.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Walker. Tony Gwynn. And Andres Galarraga. The Brewers are very good, and they are one of the best teams in baseball. The entire point I've been making here is the Brewers are good. But everyone believes they're going to keep winning at a 70 to 73% rate, which I think is highly unlikely. And I can determine that because of, I don't know, over 140 years of the sport.
Okay. Are you done?
Yep.
First off, well done by you.
Thank you.
That was a fun way to do it.
Can you say it one more time?
The Brewers are very good and one of the best teams in baseball.
So that was a fun way to break down why you have the opinion you have. But I guess the question I have based on all of that is, why is that the opinion you have?
Because I have somebody who's always, before I loved football, I loved baseball. I love baseball numbers. I spend time daily on Baseball Reference. I also read about old teams, old players, certain particularly incredible seasons from those players. I think in baseball, the history of the sport is the most important history in all of sports. And I think I'm not alone in that. I think that is one thing, because when you look at numbers at the end of this year and you compare them season by season, when somebody sets the home run record, that's a really big deal. And why is it a big deal? Because the previous years of the sport have told us it's very unlikely and very rare for people to do this. Mm-hmm. So when a team's doing it, or a player like Andrew Vaughn are doing it, it's great. I enjoy it. I love it. But I also want to be realistic. And this all ties back into my unhappiness with the inactivity at the trade deadline. Because when you have a team showing numbers like this, what you should be doing is, how do we keep doing it? How do we cement it? How do we protect ourselves and guarantee when push comes to shove, we're going to be relying on somebody better than Anthony Siegler, Andrew Monasterio, or Brandon Lockridge?
Okay, so I agree with you on that point, right? Like, obviously, the depth is certainly a concern from a position player standpoint. But I guess the difference between me and you, I am an eternal optimist.
Yes.
There is no doubt about that. It's just the way I'm wired. I don't think you're a negative guy by nature. Okay? I will go ahead and take it then. You're kind of a negative guy.
Yes.
When I hear all those numbers, Joshy, that you just laid out and every minute you said,
the Brewers are very good and one of the best teams in baseball.
All I heard was, they're that good. Like, they are one of, what they are doing is history making, right? And that's why I think everybody around us and Brewers fans have come out in droves the last month and a half, 2 months, because they are witnessing a record-breaking, unbelievable baseball team that does not belong where they are, right? I think we can all agree on that. Given the roster they have, they should not be playing this
well. Yeah, I do think there is. We talked a little bit about it on Jen Gabe Chewy this morning. The Brewers, since the rule change, have it's not Moneyball, but Moneyball is a comparison I'm using. Is they are using the rule changes and the style of the sport to sort of manipulate what we traditionally think of as a good team, mm-hmm. and that's what good front offices tend to do. Is while everyone else is zigging, you're going to zag. The mm-hmm. Brewers' understanding of their lack of willingness to spend money. Realize if we invest in athletes, focus on defense and base running, we can probably get a foot ahead. I mean, hell, watch a single Yankees game. Look at how bad they are on defense and how bad they are on the bases. Mm-hmm. That is costing them games. And the Brewers realize, with Pat Murphy, if we focus on these things, we can have an advantage over much of the league. Mm-hmm. Now, do they have an advantage over a fully healthy Dodgers team? On a game-to-game basis, sure, over a long stretch or, like, you know, a series, maybe not. But it's their way of having an advantage that they are kept out of or keep themselves out of due to lack of willingness to spend money.
Yeah, and I think that's problematic. I agree with you. Hunter, go ahead. I want to get you in on this.
Well, my whole mindset has been, once I realized they weren't going to really make a move at the deadline, like, I'm annoyed about it. It would have been great if they could have done it. But I also had to remind myself that if they went, now I just did the math, if they go 500 the rest of the year, they will win 93 games. Like, mm-hmm. they could fall off to being a 500 team the rest of the season and they'll still win 90-plus games. Like,
yeah.
I'm just having fun. I just want to enjoy the ride. So that's the only reason I'm annoyed with you, Josh, because I'm like, can you just shut up and let me have fun? Like, that's all I care about. That. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about the stats. I want to have fun and watch the balding Andrew Vaughn just crush the ball again like everyone thought he would. And I'm just going to enjoy it. And I'm just here for the vibes and the pocket pancakes. And I just want to have fun. And I'm so tired of this guarding our heart. And we have to, like, oh, they're going to regress. They're going to go down. See all these numbers. They're not the same as this team. Like, I'm mad at the front office. I just want to have fun, man.
It's a really good point by you, Hunter, because this is the same guy that lectured us 2 weeks ago about how we shouldn't protect our heart, but it seems like you are the one protecting your heart.
You could call it that. I'm not. I'm still watching all the games and rooting for the Brewers.
Yes, I agree.
I think...
And I know you are.
The Brewers as an organization let the fan base and their team down. And that's where it separates.
But I don't know that that's the truth.
I would love for them to win... In spite of the actions of the front office.
Which is what they're doing.
Right. I am certainly going to continue to root for them as far as they make it. And I said on this show, I would love nothing more for us to spend an hour on Mr. Irrelevant saying how wrong I was.
I would love that too.
Means I get a World Series. Something that's never happened here.
Even if they win the NL, you're wrong.
I think to a degree, yes.
Oh, come on,
Josh. I think you have to, like, you just said, this is all-time good baseball team.
Actually, you know what? Will made the most obscure reference in the aforementioned Mr. Irrelevant group chat yesterday. He sent a picture.
Yes.
I believe it was of Dennis Rodman, correct?
Scottie Pippen.
I'm not looking at it. I knew it was a ball. I don't remember who it was. Could have been Jordan. I don't know. And they were wearing a shirt that said, what was it? 72 and 10?
73 and 10. Don't mean a thing without the ring. Which was referenced in the Last Dance documentary.
I thought it rhymed.
Don't mean a thing without the ring. That rhymes pretty well in my book, yep. I'm pretty sure.
I think your delivery was just poor then. That must have been what happened in
my
brain.
Maybe it's your brain. Who knows?
That's certainly possible.
But that both contributing factors.
That picture came to light when the Warriors had their historic season a couple years ago and failed to win the NBA championship.
Right. I think the city and fan base can call that a massive win, winning the NL, taking home the NL pennant and going to a World Series. If you lose in the World Series, it is what it is. It's a single series. But I do think we can still, at that point, look back, analyze what happens throughout the series, because who knows what would be, in that instance, the reason they end up losing. Are they short a bullpen arm? Are they short a hitter, somebody who could get a big hit in a big time, somebody who lacks power? We can analyze that and still say, yeah, I think, given the opportunity, the team would have been let down by the front office.
So to pull a Joshy here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rely on the past. I'm going to use some stats here. It's not really stats.
Uh-oh.
I'm just being a douche. In 2001, the Seattle Mariners, it's the best record in a 162-game season, 116-46.
Yeah.
They lost in the ALCS.
Yes. They are considered...
That's a failure.
That team is considered, like... And franchise-wise, it seems like that season and what happened after has, like, done one of those curses that we sort of don't talk about because they're Seattle Mariners, but it has seemed to affect them for the long haul.
And I mean, here we are 24 years later, and they're gearing up, hopefully, for a playoff run. They've got some ground to make up in the AL, but, I mean, they make a trade for Gino Suarez to bring him back, who obviously we wanted on the Brewers. So they're certainly trying to go all in and make big moves at the deadline, unlike the Brewers. Regardless, I think at the root of this, we're all on the same page. We are witnessing...
No, hold on. Let me say it. The Brewers are good and one of the best teams in baseball.
Somebody clip that and put it on Twitter. For God's sake. This man's mentions are a disaster.
Every single time you said it, just make a compilation of
that. That's actually a very good idea. We should do that. You should just tweet it without a caption. Like, Jesus, get off my back. You are being awfully negative, though, and I don't really get it.
I don't view it as negative. I view it as realistic.
Okay, sure. I'll even give you that. But who the hell wants to be realistic right now?
That's fine.
But who wants to be?
See,
Josh, ride the wave, man.
I've made my life, and some may call this an error, of having to speak to you three times a week.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that an error.
You might not. Some others would. I'm not saying I would.
Okay, good.
People are
just saying. Some, Yeah.
He got so happy when he said that.
Well, I totally...
You were quite pleased.
I totally thought you were saying
No, no, no. It was to make the larger point of, when I'm having a conversation with you, who last week, I believe, said they are good and going to continue to be this good and win this way.
But here's the thing. I would not be surprised.
I would.
Let me rephrase. I would be pleasantly surprised given preseason expectations. But now witnessing what we've witnessed up to August 6th, they are a fun baseball team. Boy, are they fun to watch. Everybody would agree with that. They are really good. They have some of the best pitching, if not the best pitching in the major leagues. Like, they have so many things working for them. So, no, if they go on to finish the regular season as the one seed in the NL, win the NL Central, obviously that's implied, and have the best record in baseball, I don't know that I would be surprised, because that's what I've been given up to this point. So, you know, just to, I think football is always easy to relate it back to. So if the Packers started the season 8-2 this year, let's say, right, through 10 games, they're 8-2. I think I'd go, holy crap, they're good. But now the goal is no longer winning the NFC North. The goal is to be the number one seed in the NFC and go to a Super Bowl if you're 8-2 through 10 games, right? So, and that's kind of where my head is at here. And I know we do baseball math on Kyle Preston Nortman where they do relate it to an NFL season. That's not what I'm doing, but that's where my head is at, right? The Brewers are 8-2 through 10 games or, 9-2 through 10 games. My expectation is now they should be competing with everybody in baseball. They should be competing for a World Series because that's what they've shown us this season. They can compete with anybody. They've swept the Dodgers. They're beating the Cubs and obviously have another great opportunity to do that in a week and a half. What they have shown us, the evidence I have from this season, is that they are the best team in baseball. So now my expectation is go continue to prove you are the best team in baseball. And you threw a bunch of great stats at me of, you know, they are playing at a clip that is unheard of in the entirety of America's pastime. That's pretty absurd. So I understand when you say, hey, yeah, they might regress at some point. But my fan brain and my general optimistic nature just says, why do they have to slow down? Why do they have to stop? Because they are proving to us they don't need to.
I think that's fair. My whole point has been, when you have a team like this, you should try and make it even stronger. When Shohei Ohtani became available to the Los Angeles Dodgers, they didn't look and say, well, we got Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and fill in the blank. We're good enough. They said, you know what would make winning more World Series easier? The best damn player in
baseball. That's true. See, again, do I agree with the philosophy of the deadline? No.
Correct.
But do I still feel very, very, very good about their chances?
And I think yes. You have every right to feel as good.
I've enjoyed this.
I think there is going to come a point in the postseason, and Gabe's brought attention to this, and I think we should as well. The Brewers have to win the division.
Oh, they have to.
Have to.
Have to.
Can't get in a 3-game, never know what's going to happen. Baseball's weird. Weird things happen. You get one bad game from Freddie, and then it's on Miz and Woodruff to have a perfect game and your offense to click in the way it has. Like, you gotta get to the DS. You gotta get that bye. Yeah. And there's a potential the Brewers will be the second best team in the NL or the Cubs, and they'll be hosting a wild card 3 games and you're done. And we've seen, was it last season? The Brewers got swept by the Oakland Athletics and Jesse Nelson and Mark Tauscher wrote them off. They ended up making the playoffs that season, but weird things can happen in 3-game stretches. And my point is the Brewers have given us every reason to believe in them. They are very good. They are one of the best teams in baseball. But when it comes to the playoffs, things change. And I think that's been shown to us here since, 2018, that when they get into the playoffs, the team that we watch during the regular season doesn't always translate. Because the difference in the game, the heightened level of stress, and the heightened level of performance that you need from your best players, or somebody like Andrew Vaughn, who has an incredible 3 games and lifts the team above that. Those are the things required, and I think given your more chances to, you know, you want to rely on Jackson, you want to rely on Contreras, you want to rely on Yelich, why not rely on Suarez as well? Or fill in the blank of another guy. Instead of, oh, we're going to need a big hit here from Jansen.
And again, does that give you the utmost confidence? Of course not, but sure, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. At least so far, Jansen's been fine. You know, like,
did he play his first game yesterday?
No, I think there was a second game.
Gotcha.
He played his first game on Friday, I believe he caught. All right, so that was a ton. There was a bunch there. I really enjoyed that conversation, so thank you for bringing that. Everybody feel good? Round of applause for Joshy. Came prepared, little power hour. Brought me back to the dorm rooms in Stevens Point, man. Last time I played one of those power hours.
Quickly before we move on, we've barely got any time left here. But when you did power hours, because I did them too as a young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Did you guys just take sips of your beer or did you use shot glasses?
We did not use shot glasses.
We use shot glasses and it's a whole different experience than the sip.
It sounds strange to me.
Well, that's like the origin.
Why?
Because
well, I know
to
that.
Take a shot.
You're supposed to take a shot.
Yeah.
But you're not taking 60 shots, you know, right? But no.
I mean, we did.
We'd probably crush, well, a beer, not of alcohol.
Right,
you'd die.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I mean, we would probably drink, four beers or five beers an hour. We would pregame the bars or parties, however old I was.
You finish the power, you wrap up, call the Uber, let's go party.
Yep,
or you just put on your shoes and walk down the street.
Hunter's got questions.
I had no idea power hours were a thing. I was a commuter student, and like my drinking when I was at River Falls before I got kicked out of there was just going straight to a house party because like I was a freshman. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So this was a whole new experience. I had to text my wife, and she like actually knew what it was. This is the first time in my life something that involves being a degenerate. My wife knew about it, and I didn't. It was a wild experience.
I don't think this is that degenerate.
I've done this before, too.
It is binge drinking.
Yeah.
Hold on. Time out. Did you like the little will pipe in?
Said,
I know what this is too.
Yeah, we went to college.
He just wants to be included.
I do think that may be, and now all of our experiences affect how we are, but that's the one time my not so savory behavior has paid off in my professional life, where I was able to use the power hour. Because what is beer pong doing for me?
Correct.
Flip cup.
Correct. I'm Team Josh on this one. Power hours are the best. All right. We've got a ton to get to still, and we've got 8 minutes left, so we'll see how we do here. Will, it's your time to shine. It's time now for Will Summers' Wednesday Week in Review. He runs us through the past week of headlines. There's been plenty of them, including a lot of the Brewers winning. I don't know where he's going today. He hasn't told me. He's going to do his Chris Berman impression. He's going to lead us through. Will Summers, Wednesday Week in Review.
Yeah, you probably won't like this one too much. The Brewers.
I could mean anything.
Brewers hit the road to our nation's capital to take on the Nationals. The Nationals, formerly known as the Montreal Expos, used to reside in Canada for a three-game series in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. The Brewers' offense almost caused Brewers radio broadcasters to lose their voice from all the action on Friday as they had 25 hits and scored 16 runs in their 16-9 routing of the Nationals. Blake Perkins had two sick home runs, and William Contreras nearly became nauseous running around the bases as he finished 5-for-7. On Saturday, big woo, Brandon Woodruff took the air out of the Nationals lineup, going 6 innings, allowing just one hit, which was a home run hit high in the air by Robert Hassel, and two runs with 8 strikeouts that allowed Brewers infielders to feel a nice breeze from all the whiffs. Offensively, it was clear Christian Yelich wasn't up late the night before and came ready to perform, going 3-for-4 with a home run to power the crew to an 8-2 win on Saturday. Despite already having the series wrapped up, the Brewers still showed up to work. Bryce Terang cleared the air about his power production and hit two 2-run home runs. With the Brewers up big, DL Hall had a little bit of a frog in his throat trying to close out the sweep. And despite probably not needing to show up with a 14-3 lead, Grant Anderson did not make any excuses and closed out a dominant 3-game sweep for the crew. With your Brewers baseball, Mr. Relevant, we can recap. I'm Will Summers.
That was good.
Good job.
That was really good. Yeah, that was really good. No excuses. Wildfire smoke ruined my lungs.
Have we checked on Lane Grindle and the crew?
How are they? Well, they're not here.
How their voices are doing, because they, I mean, baseball parks are outside.
They're not in Wisconsin.
Right. But
there's no wildfire smoke in Atlanta.
They are more south, yeah.
Yeah, hold I was on. In North Carolina, had no smoke. No air issues at all.
Okay.
That's
did it not make its way to the nation's capital? Did they have?
I actually read an article that it was like worse in Washington, D.C. than it was anywhere else.
Oh. My point, exactly, oh. Because famously, smoke travels.
Well, I'm a huge Lane Grendel guy. All right, I'll give that to you. That was good.
He spent a lot of time outside. He was talking.
Let me text him. Actually, I don't think I have Lane's number. Do you have Lane's number?
I do.
Could you text him or would that be weird?
We're not going to text him and be like, hey, how's your voice doing?
He sounded great last night. I listened to him.
We've got a long layered bit we're doing on the show.
Yeah, but I think so. I here's the thing with Lane Grendel. Number one, I've said this a few times in the last few weeks. We are so blessed in the state of Wisconsin to have great play-by-play broadcasters. I think Lane Grendel, who does the Brewers radio with Jeff Levering and Josh Meyer, I think Lane Grendel is the cream of the crop, man. I think he is so talented. I think he does such a great job. I just think he is a phenomenal broadcaster, like one of the best in the game. And I've been tweeting that a lot recently, and he has no idea who I am, so I think he finds it odd. What's wrong?
Will just made a noise in my ear, and I have no idea why.
Do it again. On the air. No,
it's
do
an
it.
Accident.
No, do it.
Do it.
No.
It seems like he was trying to tell me I was doing something wrong. I don't know.
Was Josh doing something wrong?
No, I was going to say something to him, but then I forgot.
You didn't forget. You're just being a wuss.
Do you guys expect me to remember everything that I'm going to say? You know how my brain works.
Yes. Given the line of work we do, I would prefer you have something to say always. Yeah.
No.
It's a key component.
Me and Josh are on the same team. That's how you know you screwed up. All right, Hunter, let's fly through One Word Wednesday. He's got a quick list of topics. We will respond to those in one word. Let's go.
The NFL has banned smelling salts and ammonia packets because they can mask concussion symptoms.
Yeah, annoying is my word here. Brad Nortman told a great story yesterday on KBN about Mike Tolbert, the former NFL fullback running back. He would fill a bottle with smelling salts and like puff it in your face, and he'd call that booga sugar. Which I obviously is a reference to a drug, but and Brad didn't know that was a reference for cocaine because he just walks around blissfully ignorant. But I hate this. I love the pregame, like when people are mic'd up taking smelling salts. I think it's hilarious. Annoying is my word.
I'm saying optics. I do think there is a degree here where there seems to be some evidence it can affect concussion testing. But I think the big problem is, as we watch a youth sports commercial here on the TV, is this has popularized the smelling salts. You see younger and younger kids doing them. And I think the optics of somebody on the sideline cracking something, taking a deep inhale, making a face, is not necessarily the best look for a league like the NFL.
I'm going to go safety. I'm glad the NFL is taking the proper precautions to keep the players safe.
Starting this weekend, we have football every weekend until February.
I would like to swear.
Which one would you use here?
It would be two words. I'd go F yeah. Like, no, heaven. Heaven's my word. I'm so happy.
Gridiron. I'm fired up.
I'm going to go TVs. It's time to get your double TV set up.
Good call.
College football Saturdays.
Speaking of TV, maybe Hunter's going to mention this.
Okay.
But no.
Our precious Red Zone.
Yeah, moving to ESPN.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Is it going to be free?
I don't know if it's part. I
guess probably on the DTC product.
Yeah, yes. I think like ESPN Plus might be going up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't know all the details yet, but we do know Scott Hansen will be back, which is great.
I texted this in our group chat that we've talked about, and I need to bring it on the air. While I was in the Washington, D.C. airport, a gentleman was taking the loudest dump that I've ever heard while actively talking on the phone. Is that the most disgusting thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, but my word here is etiquette. Know your role, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to say phones. Your phone shouldn't be out in the bathroom.
Well, you can use it. Just don't be on the phone.
I think you can use it in your own. I think in public that gets a little weird.
If you're in a stall?
Yeah.
You can't scroll Twitter?
Famously, all the stalls don't necessarily reach the ground. You just put your phone away, get your business, and get out of there because there's probably somebody.
That's true. It's an airport.
Who could also be using that said stall. So do your business. Get it moving.
I'm going to go multitasking. You never know. You know, it might have been an important phone call. You can't really control when you have to go to the bathroom. So, you know, credit to him for powering through and finding a way to do both.
One last one here. New coping method from Chicago Cubs fans on Twitter has been them saying that the Brewers are winning through devil worship. That's the best form of coping I've ever seen.
Yeah, excuses. It sounds like they're out of them. And I love that because they you know, swipe the manager and Craig Counsell. They spend all the money in free agency this year and they stink. Well, they don't stink, but they're four games back after being four games up a month ago today.
I'm going to say unplug because it feels like the Cubs are not far away from accusing us of cheating, the Brewers of cheating, and unplugging the system and just saying we're done with it. You know, back in the day when you're playing someone in Madden, you're beating the heck out of them, and they would just get mad and turn the system off instead of finishing the game out. That's where it feels like we're getting to.
I'll go delusional. It's a typical Chicago sports fan reaction.
Well, how would you know?
No experience there.
I'm not a Cubs fan.
Hey, thanks for Andrew Vaughn.
You're welcome.
Thanks for Andrew Vaughn. All right, time now for What We Missed, What We Learned. That is presented, of course, by our friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. If you're heading up to Door County the rest of the summer, make sure you stop in north of Sturgeon Bay in Carlsville for the tours and the tastings. Door County Distillery is also attached to Door Peninsula Winery, so it's an awesome experience if you're going there with the missus or you're heading there on a bachelor party, bachelorette party. You got to stop in. It's really cool, exclusive product. But if you're not heading to Door County, bring Door County to you. Family reunions and graduation parties and send-offs and tailgates and all the in-betweens obviously going on this type of year. If you're spending time outside with the wildfire smoke, grab some bourbon, grab some rum, grab some vodka, grab some brandy for your old fashions, whatever you need. Door County Distillery's got you covered. They're delicious, they're award-winning, and they're local, people, right? The great thing about Wisconsin is we love Wisconsin. So support a Wisconsin business that does it right and does it better than anybody else. You can check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com, to find the retailer nearest you. They have a really cool search tool. If you're looking for their bourbon or you're looking for cherry brandy or whatever you're looking for, you can click what you're looking for, type in your zip code. It'll show you the retailer nearest you, and they're available all over the state of Wisconsin in liquor stores, grocery stores, etc. Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, wherever you're at, Door County Distillery is near you. So make sure you check out that website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. All right, want to hit two things really fast. Need to confirm with Hunter. He has the video. Do you have the video of Matthew Golden with Kevin Clark?
Of Jordan Love talking about
Talking about Matthew Golden. Thank you for the correction. Do you have it? You do have it?
Yes.
So let's hear from QB1 with Kevin Clark of ESPN on Matthew Golden.
Quick hitters, most impressive newcomer so far?
Matthew Golden.
Take me through what makes him special so far.
Man, I think he's shown up since day one and just really shown his play style, you know, showing what he's all about. I think he came in really polished and has been making plays since day one. He's got very aggressive hands. He's a smooth route runner. He's got speed. So I think for him, it's just continuing to understand the playbook and wrap his head around everything that we have in, because we have a very deep system. But when you can see, when he knows what he's doing, he's feeling confident. He's been playing lights out, so he's going to be a stud.
Lights out, he's going to be a stud, man. I'd love to hear that reassurance and that confidence from a, now what you could argue is a veteran quarterback entering his sixth year in the NFL, in Jordan Love, about the rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden. The hype continues for him, and I think it's well-deserved. He is such, you know, obviously a golden star on an offense where they need one of those. In a wide receiver room where they need a true number one. And to hear Jordan Love speak so highly of him is great. Also, when you have options, right? Like Aaron Banks is a newcomer, technically, at left guard. Nate Hobbs in the defensive backfield is a newcomer who obviously will miss some time here in the offseason. So to hear that confidence out of the quarterback, good to hear. I'm not going to sit here and predict he'll have a 1,200-yard season, but obviously good reports are good to hear.
If you won't, I will. I've been percolating on this take for a while. I tweeted it out today.
Uh-oh.
I believe Matthew Golden is going to lead all Packers wide receivers in snaps, routes run, and targets, and he will be the first 1,000-yard receiver since Devontae Adams in 2021.
Okay, so no tempered expectations for Joshie when it comes to Matthew Golden. Love to hear that. I want to get to this real quick, then we'll get to what Will missed in terms of Josh's vocabulary. He's got options today, people. Joshie's been on one today. Listen to this. This one on Twitter I read today. So the Commanders and the Patriots are doing a joint practice today, and they got into a scuffle, as teams do,
in
joint practices. Something you don't see in every joint practice is the head coach jumping into the scuffle. Mike Vrabel of the Patriots, the head coach, jumped into the scuffle, got out of the scuffle, and was bleeding from his face.
Good.
Football guy.
He's awesome. I think that's going to be a frustrating team to watch because
they might be okay.
I think they're going to be better than we expect, and it's going to be largely because of Drake May. But I also think he's a culture improver. I don't think he's a win at big time level head coach.
Okay.
Which I think probably the Patriots need, but he's a little bit of a blockhead.
Yeah. I don't know that that's unfair.
I think he does things actively that decrease his team's chance of winning.
Sure.
And it's all to prove a point and how tough he is.
He is tough. I mean, he would win the head coach battle royale, right?
You'd take
him?
So.
Him and DC.
Dan Quinn?
Dan Campbell.
Or Dan Campbell, excuse me, from the Lions. Okay. Not Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn might be in like the final five.
Yeah. But Texans.
D'Amico Ryans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably Ben Johnson.
Shut your mouth. Yeah, that's probably the end of the list.
He's a pipsqueak right along Matt LaFleur.
Him and Mike McDaniel are getting thrown out of the ring together, you know? Yeah, D'Amico Ryans would be in the mix, too. Yeah. Okay, that's good. All right, we'll wrap up the show as we try to do when everybody's here. If Josh isn't here, we don't have a lot of extra vocabulary words, so it's hard to do this segment.
I did use a word that I don't think exists today because I got hung up on the air on one. I don't know if Will caught on to it.
I don't know what you're referring to, but let's see what Will missed in terms of Josh's vocabulary.
Yeah, I didn't write the sentences for today. I pawned them off to someone else, so we'll see what they say. But the first word is erroneous, which means wrong or incorrect.
Wait, what do you mean you pawned it off to somebody else?
Strofe's argument that Will should be blamed for 19% of him not being able to control himself is erroneous. Oh, wow, I didn't write that.
Yeah, someone else.
Crazy.
Somebody else wrote that. Got it.
The other word was folly, lack of good sense, or foolishness. Strofe committed many acts of sheer folly over the weekend.
Oh, nice sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you didn't write it, though, because you would never say that about me.
I did not write it.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that about me.
I'm appalled.
Wow, good word by you. Is that it?
Whoop.
Okay, got it. It's good to have everybody back together. It was a fun show today. Really enjoyed our Brewers conversation. Really didn't enjoy breaking down my illness and how it was likely self-induced. But hey, we're back and better than ever.
You loved it. We were talking about numero uno.
I honestly, I didn't because I don't want to admit that that's the case, but it's probably the case because I felt like crap. Both
because
actually, like,
you take a little bit of ownership. Man, that's just
you
awful.
You offered a meek, I believe it was on Tuesday, defense of Iowa's joking, which I think was you coming to the realization.
Dude, the wildfire smoke thing is obviously a bit.
I think you believe it more than you want to.
I agree with
blame
that.
Blame it more than you should.
Yes. Okay. I would give you that. But yeah. I would say, like, I was having trouble breathing starting last week. So, yes. What was the word you used? It exasperated it.
Exacerbated?
Yeah, I used that word. I used it correctly.
Exacerbate?
Exacerbated.
Hey, let's end the
Talk
show.
Talk to you Friday.
Hey, Will, what's that word?